Last week we looked at something, and we looked at how Satan desires for us to all be bound up in fear. And we looked at how Satan desires for us to be in that bound up ball of wadded up fear, because when that happens, we're not glorifying God. We're not about the Father's business. And Satan's like, that's exactly what I want you to be scared to death. I want you to just be scared to go tell somebody about Jesus. So just be freaked out all the time. And that satisfies him. But what we've seen out of verse 7, it says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That spirit of fear does not come from God. God gives us far more than he does not want us to be locked up in our closet, scared to death to go out, whether it be to share the gospel or just to go out into the world. And he gives us the power, he gives us the love, and he gives us the sound mind to accomplish his mission, because he would never, ever tell us to do something, instruct us to do something, that he's not going to provide a way for that to happen. Okay, so we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We rely on that to go and accomplish God's mission. And we must use these three things in our walk. We must enjoy the benefits of being a believer in the world today. What I'm not saying here, though, is that becoming a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the best life. It doesn't give us the best life. Now, what I'm saying is that what other life would there be? What other life would we like to have? We can have all the world has to offer, but yet we would still be empty. We can have all the world has to offer and still desire more. In John chapter 6, verse 35, it says, and Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So if we were at Church in the Park this morning, right now, you would be smelling fresh beef on the barbecue grill, and you would be like, man, I am so hungry already because of the smell. And we would satisfy that hunger for a moment. And then come about 3 o'clock, you'd be like, man, I need a snack, right? I sure wish I had a few more of those cookies from church. Because our flesh is always searching for something to satisfy it temporarily. But Jesus says, listen, I'm the bread of life. When you come to me, you're never going to be hungry. And when you believe on me, you're never going to be thirsty. And this is not a physical sense. This is spiritual that Jesus is talking about here. So maybe today, you're dried up. You're thirsty. You're starving to death. And we need to come to Jesus, and we need to cast it all upon him, because he is the one that's going to satisfy our soul. We can have a personal relationship with Jesus and be full. Filled with the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, sealed until the day of redemption. The things of this world are going to pass away. They're going to burn up. They're going to get stolen. They're going to rot away. It's all going to fall apart. But our relationship with Jesus Christ himself, our relationship with the Word of God, is eternal. And there's nothing in this world that can take that away from us. But we can make a choice. We can make a choice to say, you know what, God? I'm turning my back on you. You know what, God? I don't need your power. I don't want to have that love. My mind, it's as far from being a sound mind as it possibly can be, and I'm fine with that. And then we find ourselves off in the ditch. And I've been there. I know. Maybe you guys have been there. We find ourselves off in the ditch, laying in the ditch, wondering, why am I laying in this muddy ditch? Why have I turned from God? Why don't I tap into the power of the Holy Spirit? Our relationship with Jesus is perfect forever and can never be taken away. It's a gift from God. And my question today as we get into this is, do you have that gift? You can, because God wants to give you that gift. You cannot earn it. You don't deserve it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nothing you can do can earn it. And we sure don't deserve it. But yet God loves us so much and desires to see us walk with him that he sent Jesus to pay for our sins. And he wants to give us that power. We see in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it says, and ye shall receive power. Power like you've never experienced before. Power like this never, ever been imagined. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He wants to give us that power. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We can be the most powerful force because we have the most powerful force living inside of us. So today I want us to turn our attention to our text. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Now let's read that together. It says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Let's pray. Father God, I pray today, God, that we would just be bold Christians today. We would be bold believers. And God, that we would not be ashamed. We would not be ashamed of who you are. And we would not be ashamed of who you've made us to be. And God, I pray today you would empower us through your word. The Holy Spirit would just light a fire in us. And God, that we would just be ready to tackle anything that comes before us. We know that you go before us and you prepare the way. But God, we need to be willing vessels. And we need to be vessels of honor as we're going to see today. And God, we need to be glorifying you with our lives. So I pray today that we would be clean and holy before you. And God, that you would just let us have a great day of fellowship. And God, that we would celebrate mothers today. And we are so thankful for them. Without them, we are not here. And God, I'm just so thankful for the pain and the agony that each and every mother in this room has went through. From childbirth to child rearing to raising up this next generation. God, bless them. Father, they do so much. And Father, they're so special and precious to us. And God, I just pray a special blessing on them. And just let them have an amazing day today. Let them be showered with blessings from those that love them, but most of all from you. And God, I just pray, God, just speak through my lips today. You would be glorified and honored and lifted up high today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I want us to see this very important message that Paul was sharing with his friend, his brother, his son in the Lord. And God wants to share this with us today. The title, if you need a title, is to don't be ashamed. How often do we find ourselves ashamed of being a Christian? And be honest with yourself, because how often do we find ourselves being ashamed? Well, I'm never ashamed to be a Christian. Really? I hope not, but our flesh is weak. You know, in Matthew 26:41, it says, watch and pray that you enter into not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's easy for us to say, I am not ashamed. It's easy for us to come together on Sunday mornings and say, I am not ashamed. But what about when we're standing before a group of lost individuals at work or school or in our neighborhood, and we don't open our mouth? What are we telling the world when we don't open our mouth and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, and he wants to be the Lord of your life? And when we don't open our mouth and proclaim that, are we ashamed? How often do we have an open door to share Jesus with somebody, but yet our lips remain sealed? How often do we suppress the Spirit from working in and through us? Paul's just encouraging his brother here to remain steadfast. Timothy was about the Father's business. He was shepherding the church in Ephesus, and he was training up disciples. He was shepherding the flock, dealing with messes. He was putting out fires. He was doing all that. And Paul's just a great brother in the Lord to encourage him. And he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of Jesus, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the answer. But why do we not give the answers to those who are without? Is it because we're ashamed? Paul says, don't be ashamed of Jesus, nor of me, his prisoner. Paul was a bold believer and loved nothing more than to tell others about Jesus, even if it meant doing so while locked up in prison. Even if it meant he was going to get murdered for the sake of Jesus. He didn't care. He was not ashamed. Paul knew his role and wanted to make sure he was doing his role, as we see in 2 Timothy here. He also wanted to encourage Timothy to keep doing it as well. So Paul wanted to make sure that Timothy was not ashamed to be telling others about Jesus, and also not ashamed to be associated with Paul, because, listen, Paul was locked up. Why? Because he was glorifying God, because he was telling people about Jesus. And if Timothy maybe was associated with him, they'd be like, we're locking him up too. And Paul's like, don't let that hinder the ministry. Don't be ashamed of what's going on. This could have brought hard times into Timothy's life for being linked up with Paul, but Paul says, hey, don't worry about that. Don't be ashamed of that. He goes on. He first tells him, hey, don't be ashamed, but he goes on in the second part here, and he says, to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Well, why would I want to go share the gospel if it's going to bring affliction into my life? Why would I want to go share the gospel if there's going to be some bad things brought into my life? Why am I going to go share the gospel with somebody if it's going to make my life harder? What Paul is saying here is that the glorious gospel, the good news, it's worth suffering for. The message of hope, the message of eternal life, it may bring affliction into our life, but it's so worth it. It may make our time here on earth a little bit harder, but is it worth it? Is it worth it to you? Of course it's worth it. Is a soul worth our suffering? No one enjoys affliction. No one enjoys affliction, but we all go through it. In Romans chapter 5, turn there and take a look at Romans chapter 5 with me, verses 3 through 5. We all go through affliction. We're just going to read 5, 1 through 5. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Tribulation makes us stronger. Right? This affliction, it's just a light affliction. It makes us stronger, though. It makes us more bold for Jesus. It's going to train us up. It's going to, the more that we go through it, I'm not going to say it's going to be easier, but the more that we'll understand it. And this hope, it makes us not ashamed. But why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And when we're doing that, when we're about the Father's business, when we're out telling people about Jesus, and we're being a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, it may not bring honor and glory to us, praise the Lord, but it's going to bring honor and glory to the Lord. We go through this affliction in our day-to-day life, at school, at work, at home, and what we are going through for the sake of the gospel, what are we making a stand about? The power that God, Paul spoke of in verse 7 is the power that we're going to need to endure. This power empowers us to speak the truth to the lost. It is only God-given power. There's no class that we can have at New Life Baptist Church that is going to give you more power. It may equip you, okay, that's good, but the power has got to come from God. It's not a power that we can work for. It's truly a supernatural power. But we have to take action. We must take action, because if not, what are we doing? Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I read this last week, says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You want the power? You need the gospel. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul understood firsthand. He understood the power of the gospel and how it set him free, and how he had seen man and woman after man and woman set free, how the chains had been broken, and how the power of the gospel had just, man, it had changed life after life. And we've seen that here at New Life. The power of the gospel running rampant through the souls that God has brought to New Life Baptist Church have been changed. There's no way that we should be ashamed of that. Paul was not ashamed of that. He was not afraid of telling others about this powerful message. And I truly believe that God has us in this passage, in this book, at this time for a purpose and for a reason. There's no happenstance that happens. I believe that he has us in this passage for this very purpose. Because we all need to be willing to get out of our comfort zone, to step up, to endure a little affliction. Because God saved us for a purpose. Verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God saved you, if you're saved today, and now he desires to use you. Use you to spread the gospel to the world. Why else would he say, go into all the world and preach the gospel? He wasn't just saying that. It wasn't just small talk. He's like, listen, this is what you guys need to be doing. He's like, disciples, listen up. Go. Go tell people about the good news. There's some here today that have never, ever shared the gospel with anyone, I would be willing to bet. Even in this small group of people that we have. That's what shame comes from. Not from the word, but from not being prepared. Not knowing how. And we are a church that desires to equip the believers to be able to be used by God for his glory. But we have to be willing to learn. Okay? You can say, I don't know how to share the gospel, so I'm just not going to do it. Well, you're going to give an account for that. Because we have many people here that would love to sit down and show you what the gospel is, first and foremost, and how to share it. It's that simple. I've challenged you to share your testimony without sharing the gospel, and you will find out real quickly that, one, either you're not saved, or two, that it's impossible to share your testimony without sharing the gospel. This is some self-examination that needs to happen in our life. God saved us with a holy calling, and maybe not to be a pastor like Paul or Timothy, but he's called us to be a messenger, to be a proclaimer, and he wants us to get after it, not wasting time. In Colossians chapter 4, it says this. Colossians 4, verse 5 through 6. It says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. We need to share the gospel. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Without what? Without salvation, without eternal life. Because the time is short. The days are numbered. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 says this. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but be understanding that what the will of the Lord is. What is God's will for your life? What is God's will for your life? Paul encourages Timothy even when Timothy was getting after it. Timothy wasn't in a funk. He wasn't in a rut. He wasn't off in the world or off in the weeds or off laying in the ditch. Paul's just being a great brother in the Lord, encouraging him and reminding him of his calling. Why? So he would remain focused on what truly mattered. The Word of God and the souls of men. What matters in your life? Does the Word of God and the souls of men matter in your life? It's eternal. This calling has nothing to do with our works, but all to do with God's purpose for his children. Because listen, church, God has a plan for you. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if it's Zeke I'm talking to or who I'm talking to. God has a plan and a purpose for your life if you would just submit to his will. You say, well, God doesn't know what I'm going to do with my life. Yeah, he does know what you're going to do with your life, right? He knows even before you think you know. He knows what you're going to do. He knows the mistakes you're going to make. He knows the victories that are going to happen. He is all-knowing. And he has a plan if we would just submit. He's called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, because if it was based on our works, we wouldn't be here today, y'all. He desires to use you. He desires to use me, but we must be a willing vessel. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 says this. If you just flip over, it says, But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Listen, if we would just repent, if we would just cast all that garbage at the feet of the cross, at the feet of Jesus, if we would just say, I don't want that anymore, purge, if you guys don't know what purge is, there's many ways to explain purge, but man, sometimes we need a good purge in our life, right? It makes us feel better. Get rid of all the garbage. We are all vessels, right? We all have a human body. But what type of vessel are we? Are we a vessel of honor? Or are we a vessel of dishonor? Are we full of the flesh? Are we full of the spirit? What is it? What's going on in our life? How are we functioning? How are we glorifying God with our lives? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says this. It says, for this is the will of God, even for your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that everyone that should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. It goes on, it says, not in the lust of even as the Gentiles, which know not God. Listen, what is the will of God? He wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to be set apart. He wants us, he uses fornication here, but he wants us to get rid of all that stuff. Flee, and pursue him. Abstain. Know how to possess your vessel. Know how to be sanctified. God's will, church, he desires us to be pure, clean, and know how to possess our vessel. We need to quit defiling the Holy Spirit. Quit defiling the temple. The devil desires to creep in and disrupt, but we have power. We need to surrender to God, not to the devil. Submit to God, like it says in James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Get under the will of God. Get under his protection. He is the protector, he's the provider, and he has a purpose for each and every one of us. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. We may not know yet what our calling is, but he will reveal it to us. And we have to trust him, and we have to allow him to direct our steps. Okay, because it's not going to just be like, boom, he's going to reveal it to you. Because if that was the case, we would run, we would tuck tail, we would run to the other way. But we just need to believe his word. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. Right? He will direct our steps. He will show us where to go, how to do it, where to go, when to do it. Timothy's purpose was to shepherd the flock in Ephesus and to train up faithful. It was a job of multiplication. So how are we suffering for Jesus today? What are we getting rid of that needs to go so that we can honor and glorify the Father today? What is in our life? What has crept in? What is laying in the cracks? What is hiding that is hindering us from glorifying God with our lives? It could be big, it could be small. It doesn't matter. What is hindering us? What is blocking God from using us? We need to give it all away. Give it all away. Like that song, it's called Go. We need to follow hard after Jesus because he's going to give us all we need in this life to accomplish his will. And God has a plan, had a plan from the very beginning, and he knew the things that were going, how they were going to roll out. He knew what mankind was going to do, right? Before the world began, it says at the end of verse 9, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He had a plan. He has a plan. God revealed his plan when he sent Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection was all part of the plan. Because it had to happen in order to accomplish God's plan. It was not by happenstance. God doesn't wing stuff as he goes along. I like to wing stuff, right? And it doesn't ever turn out very well. Or it takes way longer, right? Finish your basement and wing it. See how long it takes and see how happy your wife is. Don't wing stuff. Get a good plan together. God is all-knowing. He knows what we're thinking about right at this very moment. He knows what we're going to do tomorrow. And he absolutely knows what we did yesterday. Because we can't hide from him. Church, we're all preachers of the gospel. Just some of us may not be doing it. We have all been appointed preachers, proclaimers. What an honor it is to be that's been bestowed upon us to be able to do this. To be able to be used by the King. To be one of his messengers. Right? We all grew up wanting to be doctors and police officers and firefighters. But God has us right here at this very moment today to be a believer in him, to be a proclaimer of the gospel. There is no greater honor. There's no greater duty. There's no greater work that we could ever, ever desire to do in our lives. Dream job? What if our dream job was to share the gospel with someone? Paul was a pretty awesome dude, and so was Timothy. But guess what? So are you, right? So believe it or not, so am I, in God's eyes. He believes that we're awesome. We all have the gift of God living inside of us if we're saved today, and we need to let it out. We need to share it with others. Don't be ashamed. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be scared. Don't be bound up, but be bold and love God and love people. And love them enough to tell them the truth. Speak it with love. Verse 11, Paul wraps up by saying, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Paul was a great dude. He was an amazing guy. And man, he was, you know, he was a church planner and he was a disciple maker. And he was just everything. An encourager. But most of all, he was a God glorifier. And it didn't matter where he was at. God's going to give us opportunities. And it might be weird opportunities. To be able to bring the love of Jesus into someone's life that may not have any idea how much God loves them. And we have to have the eyes and the heart to see that. When opportunities arise and your flesh wants to say, I am not doing that. That makes absolutely no sense. Why would I do that? And we got to remember how God looks at people. And how much he loves people and how much he loves us enough to send Jesus Christ into this world and to die and to be buried and to rise again the third day. And we need to use every opportunity that is given upon us, that's given to us each day to say, you know what? Even if this seems like a retarded idea, even if this seems completely ridiculous, even if this just seems like this makes no sense, how can I bring God glory today? How can I share his love with those that are around us? We need to love people enough to tell them the truth. And we need to speak it with love. Speak it with passion. Why? Because their eternity relies on it. Who spoke in your life the truth of God's word with love and with passion over and over and over again when you rejected it over and over and over again? Who was that person or those people that could just continually just poured out God's love into your life? Because your eternity mattered enough. Because truth sets us free. I want to end with one verse in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting in verse 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. If I've heard that verse one time in my house, I've heard that verse 1,000 times in my house as we were raising our children. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. In verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How can we not love the world enough to tell them the truth? But yet what proceeds out of our mouth is just a bunch of garbage that points people the other way sometimes. Let's be kind today, church. Let's love people. Let's love God. And let's get after it. The cross is empty. The work is done. The grave is empty. The way has been made. The price has been paid. All we got to do is just deliver the message. Just tell somebody about it today. What if we did that? What if we were crazy enough to leave this place today with a full belly full of hamburgers and went and told somebody how much Jesus Christ loved them? What if we did that? What if that was the first step in your obedience to what God has for you? What if that was the first step in obedience to His calling for your life? What if you are an amazing evangelist and you don't know it because you won't open your mouth? What if I did that? How would someone's life be changed because of that? We can do that today. We have air in our lungs, and some of us can talk to a blank wall, right? What if we used that for God's glory? What if we did that? He saved us, and He's called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. That's what He wants for us today, church. Let's pray.